Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To ride at the Valley, but the Addicts extend their winning run to 3 as AFC Wimbledon are edged out in SE7. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez. Joining me on this week's show to look back at that victory yesterday at the Valley against Wimbledon. First up, Mr. Mark Newbury. How you doing, Mark?
I'm happy as Larry, mate. 3 points in a pocket and good to go.
Yeah, Larry's well known for his exuberance and happiness at all times, especially when Charlton are winning. And also joining us, well, for the first time this century, Mr. Terry Smith. How you doing, Tel?
All good, thanks. I've never met Larry, but I'm sure I'm equally as happy.
Always. So on this evening's show, as I said, we'll be looking back at that game with Wimbledon. We're going to hear the highlights in a few moments' time. We've also got some reaction, of course, from the gaffer, Johnny Jackson, and from one of the midfielders yesterday, Alex Gilby, came to speak to us in the press room after the game. We also got some fans bar, and we've got your reaction as well via tweets and emails. We'll have, if we have time, we'll look ahead to Tuesday's game at Bolton. As well, loads to get our teeth into on this evening's show. So, I mean, before we dive into the highlights, Tel, 3-2, it made it harder for ourselves than perhaps we needed to, but 3 wins in a row now, sort of on a nice little run at the moment.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a defensive masterclass, was it, yesterday? I genuinely thought when they scored in, 3 minutes and then we equalised, and then even when Akin got the third caught an error into the second half, I thought this could be any score. You know, we could, with the way these two sides are defending, this could go up to double figures between them. But quite how it didn't, I've no idea, because the defending didn't improve necessarily. But it's 3 points, 3 wins on the trot, and momentum's with us again, as it was when Johnny first took over in caretaker charge. So if we can go on that sort of run, who knows what we can achieve? I mean, we're relying on so many things going our way, of course. But yeah, you never know. Look, winning's better than losing, isn't it? So whatever comes at the end of it is great.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it is highly unlikely that we're going to get into the playoffs this season, it is nice just to win some games, have an enjoyable Saturday afternoon, isn't it, Mark? And, I mean, it is sometimes about finding a way to win when you're not at your best, and I think that was very much the case yesterday.
Well, it's funny, we'd been extolling the virtues of our defence for the last couple of weeks and saying, you know, how tight and how sharp we looked, and then we just gave away, well, two absolutely preventable goals, silly goals. And like Terry said, I was at 3-2, I'm turning to my mate next to me and saying, we need a fourth, because I could just see them getting another one the way we were looking. So it was good that we held out. But, you know, we can't make those mistakes against better teams, unfortunately, because we will get punished.
Yeah, well, we got punished to an extent already yesterday, I guess. But I agree, we held out well. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But I do think once we got that third goal, we seemed fairly comfortable. But anyway, let's have a listen back to some very mangled highlights. Those of you who were listening to the game on Charlton TV yesterday knew that the audio-only coverage sort of dropped out for a while. So that's where we get our recording from. So half of it is Terry and Steve Brown on Cheltenham TV, half of it's me on BBC Radio London. But these are highlights from yesterday's game against AFC Wimbledon.
We are going to have pre-kickoff a minute's applause in honour of Ben Jay. And so we'll leave you with Brian to announce that, and we'll be back to you after the minute's applause for Ben.
Who braved in battle against a rare form of liver cancer. We would now ask both sets of fans to join us for a minute's applause before today's game, which will start and end on the referee's whistle. Thank you.
It's this Wimbledon free kick. Chip ball towards the John Peltier. Runners, one in the middle, free header. Good claim by, well, initial claim from McGillivray, and then it's buried. McGillivray says he was fouled, the referee waves it away, and Wimbledon have the lead.
Yeah, and that'll all be down to whether we deem that a free kick to McGillivray or on McGillivray, but we didn't react particularly well from the free kick either. Free header at the far post, two players unmarked when he headed it back across. McGillivray had to come and make the claim to take the pressure off his back line. He did that, and it fumbled out of his hands to Chislett. He's popped it into the back of the net, and Wimbledon lead.
Albie Morgan to take the corner for the Addicts. 17 minutes gone here at the Valley. In comes the delivery towards Innes. And it's in on the goal line. It took a touch off the defender last, but Ryan Innes will be claiming that. 17 and a half minutes gone, and the Addicts are level. Chum 1, Wimbledon 1.
Hamwoke sends the ball down the line. Aniko with a flick on to Jayasimi. Takes it down. Sends Washington on his way. It's a lovely ball. Connor Washington in towards the edge of the penalty area. Can he finish? Yes, he can! The Addicts take the lead in fine style. Femwo with the throw, Jayasimi with the bring down. Escaped his man, and an inch perfect pass to Connor Washington. Allowed him to get behind the defence, in the penalty area, and there was no doubt in the finish.
Yeah, it's a flick on from an EK that Jayasimi does ever so well to control. I said about Morgan's ball earlier probably being the best ball of the match. I'm wrong. Jayasimi's pass has just topped that. Outside of the right, swinging in behind Nightingale. Perfect weight for Washington to run off the shoulder. It's a very cool, composed finish. He just looks up, assesses the keeper, and slots it underneath his legs.
Inside the Charlton half on our left-hand side. Now swung into the penalty area. It's a deep one. It's a free header, and it's the equaliser. Free header on the far post. Pretty sure this one was Hennigan, the captain. And Wimbledon have levelled things up.
Our marking at set pieces is pick my words carefully. Needs work.
Non-existent?
It just needs work. I mean, there's so many free players, and it's not the first time in this game. This is the, you know, I mentioned it in the free kick before. We've got to sharpen up from set pieces again. So they actually got in behind us, and Jayasimi got a flick on the ball, but they were in behind us. But how can, look, absolutely nobody. He gets a lovely
he's
little
got two
check.
On, he's no, got two,
Claire,
yeah, he's got two on one.
Checked,
yeah,
right?
Two on one. Claire gets checked, leaves him all on his own.
Yeah. But it's just simply not good enough.
Morgan to take the delivery in front of the covered end. Towards the far post, headed into the far stick. And Joe Honor in the lead, and it's Akin Famo. He finally breaks his Addicts duck at the far post. Charlton 3, Wimbledon 2. There we go. So 3-2 win, Tel. It was a funny old game. You know, that old saying. In that, you know, I did feel the last half an hour looked very different to sort of like the opening hour, where the opening hour was chaotic and the defences were very much struggling. In that last half an hour, you know, Charlton kept the ball, about 60% of the ball. Wimbledon only really had one chance. I don't know if they'd almost run out of steam. Very young team, Wimbledon. I think their average age was at least 2 years younger than us in the starting lineups yesterday when I did that stat. And we sort of were able to see the game out quite comfortably, but it didn't really feel like that was going to be the case for large spells of yesterday's performance.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's anything down to the fact that they had to make the sub with Cosgrove going off, because they seemed to lose a bit of impetus when that happened, and I don't know if that had any bearing on it at all. Plus, as you say, they're quite a young side, so they maybe ran out of steam because they were pressing us quite high. But to be fair, even that Assel was doing that right to the end. So I think Cosgrove going off had a major factor in that, because he was their target pretty much all day long up to that point, and was causing us lots of trouble. And you know, you think this defender the size of Innes that we've got, you wouldn't necessarily think that, but he was causing us trouble, and I think that may have resulted in the mistakes that came, because you're focusing on the real powerhouse up top, and you're not taking any notice of anybody else coming into the box. And it was a strange one, though. You know, just the amount of mistakes that defenders were making, not picking up, not running. It was almost like back to the days when we were playing under Atkins and not doing that. It's strange, but the good thing about it is that we look very threatening going forward all the time, and that got us out of trouble.
I mean, obviously, question marks surrounding the first goal, Mark. I mean, you sit North Lower, so you would have been almost right behind it. But, I mean, the long ball came in, and already I think it was Hennigan who got the original header. We've already let him have a free header that dropped into the arms of McGilvray. Now, McGilvray has sort of lost control of the ball as he's jumping over one of the Dons players. I mean, looking back at it, he was appealing for the foul. What was your view in real time and having had a look back?
Oh, in real time, and having seen the highlights again, Macca's made a mistake. He's dropped it. I couldn't understand for the life of me why he didn't punch it. He could have got a punch on that, cleared it 30 yards, and you don't think of it. But he's come for it. He's dropped it, and then I don't know what he was appealing for. There wasn't anyone anywhere near him. You know, the guy's finished well. We had two on the line, but he still finished it well. No, it's a goalkeeping error. And if I was the goalkeeping coach this week, I'd be having a couple of the big lads, in that centre area and saying to Macca, right, this is how you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it better. And it's only, he's a good keeper. And, he showed it later on. He made a really good save. But it was a goalkeeping error. There's nothing, he's saved us in games. So you allow them, you just don't want to see it regularly. But, no, punching it all day long, that's what you've got to do. If you can't catch it comfortably, get it away.
It felt unusual at the time, Terry, because almost always when you see something like that, I mean, there was a Dons player near the keeper, although I think Macca has, he's effectively jumped over him and dropped the ball. I think, I didn't think it was a foul personally, but almost always you'd see a foul given. So it was almost refreshing not to see it given, apart from the fact it meant that we'd gone a goal down.
Yeah, I'm not sure refreshing was the word I was thinking at the time, but there was never a foul. And you know what I'm like with refereeing decisions. So for me to say no, it was never a foul. I think I wonder, and because it happened in the second half as well, but obviously it didn't result in a goal. But I don't know if the blustery conditions had any effect on it, because it certainly was up in the gantry where we were blowing round and whipping round. So I don't know whether or not he just lost the flight of the ball because the wind caught it away from him, because it just looked like he was reaching towards the end. It looked like at one point he had it comfortably and then he was reaching. So I don't know if that had a factor on it, but as Mark said, he's saved us enough over the course of this season. So a couple of howlers isn't great, but we got away with it. No, definitely not a foul.
Yeah, I mean, it's another League One weekend, another League One side that hasn't worked out how to stop 6'5" Ryan Innes from winning a header. I still don't think that's physically possible. His effort nodded down, got us back onto level terms, of course. I'm surprised to see it didn't go down as an own goal, because from my viewpoint, it seemed to hit a Zanev end goal and then come off the back of one of the defenders and go over the line. But I mean, we really, I can't believe we've gone this far into the podcast without mentioning that pass from DJ for the Addicks' second goal. Outside of the boot, you know, it's flicked on by Anike, just turned outside of the boot, you know, incisive pass right into the stride mark of Connor Washington. I mean, that pass was one of the best balls I've seen this season.
Well, I just read, funnily enough, on Twitter, someone said if De Bruyne did that, we'd be watching it on a loop for the next 2 weeks. Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. The curve on it, the pace on it. I mean, and Washington, God bless him, took it nice and early, didn't give a keeper a chance to set himself. Great finish. It was, I think it was our esteemed colleague Nath who said it wasn't, you know, the best pass he's seen from a defender since Naby's pass against Forrest for Taylor a couple of seasons ago, and I'd probably agree with that because it had everything. He took it well, for, you know, just a lovely hit. And yeah, we could have probably done that whole show on just how good that pass is. And I think, you know, Washington, he's turned around and he's gone, you know, that's what I wanted, that's what I needed. And it shows when you have someone who's as quick as Washington. And when it was one-on-one with that, I didn't really have a doubt. It's funny, and sometimes with strikers you're going like, oh, you know, is he going to take an extra touch, is he going to try and hit it over him? The way Washington's in really good form at the moment, and it's funny for me, I thought he was our man of the match yesterday, and we'll probably come on to talk about who we thought was good, but you know, his pressing and running and shutting down and like the finish there yesterday, you know, absolutely a joy to watch. And I don't think many people who probably listen to this show haven't seen it, but if you haven't seen it, just search it out and just enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, there are. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's watched it at least 15 times already. Tell, I mean, like, DJ's been so frustrating for me this season because I was really bigging him up in pre-season. You know, I thought he had a good second half of last year before he got injured, particularly under Nigel Adkins. And I expected him to really hit the ground running. And he's only performed in fits and starts for me this year. So I've been a bit frustrated with his overall performance for the entire season, because he has shown at times that he has ability, and no more so than what we saw yesterday, where it wasn't just that pass, but I thought he had a really good game.
No question. Going back just a touch on that, the Innes' goal was, I put it down as Hartigan's own goal because it's their number eight. Directly from Innes' header, hits him and goes in. But if you look at it from behind, the goal, it's... Innes' header was going on target, so technically they'll call that Innes' goal. I don't think they'll take it off him. As for DJ's goal, I mean, the pass was exquisite, absolutely exquisite. And if there is a Twitter feed out there, or a Twitter video out there without the commentary, which shows where you can hear Connor Washington shouting DJ as he makes the run. So I'm assuming DJ heard that and knew he was running and just executed it to perfection. And you're right, of course, he has been a bit in and out of the games, which is obviously why he was dropped for Corey Blackett-Taylor when he was. I think you've got to give him a little bit of slack, maybe. He's still a young man. When he arrived, I don't think he was used properly necessarily. And then now he's being asked to play this wing-back role, which I think when he does well, he does it really well. But, of course, that takes up a lot of stamina and pace, and maybe as a young man he's still got to get used to that. So I think there's a player in there, no question about it. And I think as he gets older and as he gets it's a strange thing to say as he gets fitter necessarily, because they're all extremely fit people. But I still think that that stamina is something you've got to build up over a course of a couple of seasons. So I still think we've got a gem there. And as long as he progresses the way he does, I think he'll be an absolute quality player for us.
Yeah, the fingers crossed. I really hope he does fulfil his potential. And willing running all afternoon, wasn't it, from Connor Washington? But I mean, that goal, Mark, that we conceded, the second goal just before half time. Again, you know, a deep cross towards the far post. Ben Hennigan's there to stoop and head it in towards the far corner. Jacko, we'll hear in a few moments' time. I did ask him about it. He said that Wimbledon sort of put a block on someone to try and create that space, but it's still, I mean, he'll still be frustrated to see that we've conceded from set pieces this season, like yesterday, when, you know, we've tended to be a bit better recently defensively.
Yeah, it's funny because, like you say, I sit exactly right behind the goal, and as it's come over, we were just like, couldn't understand why there was no one near him, and, you know, it was a good header. firm, low, straight in the back of the net. And yeah, pretty good. He probably would have had time to bring it down and score if he hadn't headed it. And then Innes is looking round to saying, like, well, sorry, I can't be doing everything with a back here. But he's the biggest lump, and I didn't understand why Innes wasn't on him in the first place. If they've blocked him off, they've blocked him off. But I thought it was strange, because I thought it was a strange free, if I remember rightly, it was a strange free kick that we'd given away, and I couldn't understand why the referee had given that in the first place. But we weren't switched on. You're right, it's one of those ones defensively we should be a stronger line, a higher line, because they matched us pretty much physically. They had some tall guys, they had some short guys, so it's not like anybody, I mean, they didn't have one as big as Ryan, but you know, their big lumps were big lumps. So it was one for them to analyse and say, right, where have we done, where have we gone wrong? Funny thing is, we're going back to when DJ came on. I looked and I thought to myself, I didn't understand, he's taking Corey off, and I thought Purrington would come on that side. I know he's more defensively minded, but, you know, is DJ on the left side? I mean, I thought he was brilliant when he came on and, you know, had such a great game, and we've talked about his pass. I just thought it was a strange one originally. Now, look in hindsight, you go, yeah, fantastic. I just thought it was a bit strange when you've got a left-sided player coming off and you've got a left-sided player on the bench, why you put your sort of like guy who normally plays sometimes on the right wing of the left side. Obviously, they know he can do the job and can cut in. And he stuck to his guns. I had this conversation with someone earlier. He stuck to his guns all game. He didn't raid up too fast. He defended well. He was made himself available for passes. Got himself a nice booking. So, you know, I couldn't understand. I wonder what your thoughts on why Purrington wasn't gone for.
It's interesting. Now you say it. I mean, it was something that a lot of people were thinking about yesterday. But I remember ever since the very first game that Johnny Jackson had in charge, I've always felt we've played quite lopsided. So one of those wing backs would be one of our more attacking players. So I think if I remember rightly, at Sunderland, it was Purrington on the left and Lico on the right. So one of our more attacking players and one of our slightly more defensive players. So it feels almost lopsided, but it does give us that overall like a balance. So we've got one who'll go back and one who'll get more forward. So that seems to be something that Jackson seems to favour when he's picking his two left-backs. Because if you think about it, if it would have been Adam Matthews and Purrington on either flank yesterday, where would we have had that sort of level of creativity that someone like DJ would give us? And obviously someone like Corey Blackett-Taylor at the start, we would have hoping would be given us. And, you know, we hear from Jacko about the extent of his of what we know about his injury so far. Hopefully it won't be too bad, but it does sound like he won't be involved at Bolton on Tuesday. I mean, Akin Fainwo, Terry, got the third. It's centre-half, you know, it's not his job to score goals, but at the same time, he would have been frustrated that he's gone this long into his career without doing so. So absolutely brilliant for him to get off the mark and possibly put to rest the ghost of that incredible mistake he made against AFC Wimbledon away last season.
Yeah, Brownie mentioned it on commentary. I mean, his first comment was about time, which is probably right, because, you know, for a centre-half to go forward that often and be in a position where he should get on the end of crosses. Although when you've got Ryan Innes in your side, you'd sort of tend to say, well, it is. It's always going to be Ryan, because nobody can stop him. You mentioned it earlier. They know it's coming, but there's nothing they can do about it. And so it was clever, actually, because then you use Ryan as a decoy rather than the main target, and that left it open for Akin to creep in a back post. And to be fair, though, if you're AFC Wimbledon, you're looking at your defence. I think it was Lee Brown was the guy supposedly trying to mark Akin Fainwo, and he just didn't. He just let him out-muscle him and get to the head first. So, you know, we complained about our goals, or the goals we gave them, and I think AFC Wimbledon will be looking at that thinking that's a bit weak from a defender, but credit to Akin, he was there. But a special credit to the cross that came in the first place. It was right on the money.
Yeah, it certainly was an excellent delivery. Right, I said earlier I thought we saw the game out really well. So let's dive in to see what Johnny Jackson made of it. The Addicts boss came to speak to us in the press conference after the game. This is what he made of the performance against Wimbledon.
I don't think it was our best. I think the game was a little too open for my liking at times. They caused us a lot of problems at times, as we did to them. But yeah, it was a bit too sort of end-to-end and open for my liking. But we dug in, we got the win, we won, not being at our best, which is pleasing, because that doesn't always happen. You know, if you do sort of dip off your level, sometimes you come unstuck, and we managed to get the win, so really pleased.
Extends the winning 1-3 as well. Now it feels like you've put that little wobble behind yourselves.
Yeah. I was confident that we would. I've said it to you and to everyone before that even in defeat, I thought we was certainly competitive in most games and wasn't always getting what we deserved from the games. So I was really confident that would turn and that we'd work our way out of it by work on the training ground. You know, hard work from the lads and my staff as well. So I've got full trust in these players, and I knew that we would turn a corner. I managed to put 3 wins together now, 4 unbeaten in the league. But obviously, we need more. We need to carry it on because we don't want to obviously go on another little rut. You're always going to lose games. It's a competitive league. You know, that's a given for everyone. But what you don't want is runs of defeats, and you need to. If you do get beat, you need to bounce back quickly. So put 3 on the bounce now, wins together, so really pleasing.
Not the ideal start, of course. Craig seemed to have some complaints about the ball in. Have you seen it back? I haven't had a chance to.
I haven't, no. Initial reaction is it was a foul. Like, you normally expect that the referee gives those, but honestly, I couldn't hand on heart say whether it was or wasn't because I haven't seen it back, so difficult to comment.
So you've seen back dialing Jaisimi's free ball for Connor to put Charlton 2-1 up. They talk about that one for a little while.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen anything back yet. But I saw it with my own eyes, and I know that it was a wonderful pass from DJ and great movement from Connor, something that we work a lot on with him. He's got really good movement on that top line, and obviously you need someone to provide the ammo. DJ's got his head up, spotted the run and execution of the pass, I think, outside of the boot when it was... Great ball, and it was just begging for Connor to go on and finish it.
Centre half like Akin, I guess he'll be disappointed that he hasn't scored earlier in his career than this, but he'll be really pleased to get off the mark now.
Yeah, again, conversations we've had about him, he wants to be a threat in the opposition box, and he should be, with his size, his physicality, but hasn't scored before now, and all those centre backs should be chipping in with goals from set piece situations because we've got the size and physicality, and it's about you have to be cute in the opposition penalty box with your runs, timing of your runs. You've got to be aggressive, you've got to want it more than the guy marking you. So pleased for him, he's deserved that. And obviously it's turned out to be the winner, so fantastic.
And you probably will, though, have question marks about the 2 goals that China conceded. So the second one, completely free header at the far post.
Yeah, they worked a block, but we watch them and we know that's something that they do, and you have to be ready to combat it, whether that's not allowing yourself to get blocked, making the referee aware that they're going to try a block, because if he does see it, maybe he gives a foul, but we haven't done either of those things, and you can't allow Nightingale a free header in was it Nightingale?
It was Hennigan.
Yeah. Well, either of those guys, you know that they're a threat. And you can't allow them free headers in the opposition, in your own box, can you? Because obviously you're going to be in trouble.
Well, Abbey had another good game, and then you're able to bring on Scott Fraser in his place. You've got some good options there in that midfield.
Yeah, I was keen to get Scott on the pitch. He's got such quality. You're always tempted to go from the start, but I felt the team from Portsmouth deserved to go again. And it's nice having those sort of options from the bench to come on, impact the game. Was actually trying to get him on a little bit earlier, and then we scored and reassessed. And there's a couple saying that they had a few niggles, so you have to think about it carefully. And do you hold one back for a little bit later and stuff like that? But nice to get him on the pitch. Difficult game to come into probably, and he'll be a top player for us. I'm sure we'll. But it's obviously early doors, first 20 minutes. We build him up in training. We've got tough schedule of games, so he'll be featuring real soon, for sure.
So what's the early assessment on Corey to come off in the opening exchanges?
Yeah, he was just saying there that when he was opening out, when he was sprinting, that he was feeling his hamstring and he felt like it would go. So I don't think it did actually sort of go, if you like, but he was feeling it enough that he knew he couldn't continue, which is disappointing because we were excited for Corey today on the back of his performance at, Fratton Park on Monday, you know, was excellent down there, and you know, we was hoping that he could cause the opposition a lot of problems today. But unfortunate, you know, he's felt that tweak. He's done the right thing, you know, he's made the decision that couldn't continue, and I thought DJ come on and was ready to impact the game straight away and done great.
How far away are the two loanees, Juan and Niall, from coming in and getting involved?
Well, they're fit. Yeah, we need to build them up. Neither of them have had a lot of game time. You know, Juan was obviously at Birmingham, but didn't really feature much. And Niall's had COVID recently, and we're building him back up from that. But they're both fit. They're both training. But I've got a big squad, and I've got a lot of players to choose from. And you know, when we're winning, it's difficult to all of a sudden leave people out. They have to work their way to fitness. They have to work their way into the squad in training. You know, there will be, you know, the likelihood is Corey's probably going to miss out Tuesday now, and you know, a spot opens up for someone. So I make a lot of those decisions based on what I see every day during the week in training and things like that. And players have to know that. They have to be ready to step in. Look at DJ, great example. You know, he's come outside recently, but he's made himself ready. That if there's something, he's not sitting there sulking, and he's ready. That if something does happen and he's on the pitch, he comes on and he's ready to impact it.
Managed to get Mason on the pitch. Obviously, we spoke a lot about him on Monday, but he is back with us. He has tweeted that he's going to give us 110% for the rest of the season. I didn't personally hear it, but there was a couple of reports from some of my mates who were nearer the crowd saying that there's a couple of one or two boos, but obviously the majority of the fans behind him. Were you surprised that some would be disappointed with him?
I didn't hear any of that. Mason is a great kid. He's been thrust into the limelight. It's all happened really quickly for him, and you know, life-changing opportunity for the boy. And it's, like I say, it's happened really quickly. He's a lovely lad. All he wants to do is play football. He's humble. He works hard. You know, there's no ego about him at all. So he'll be back with us, giving, like you said, what he tweeted there. I have no doubt at all that when called upon, he'll be giving absolutely everything, because that's just the way the lad is. I've got no worries about Mason at all.
This last year, obviously, is a quick turnaround to Tuesday, so looking forward to that one. Tough test. They scored quite a few goals recently home against Sunderland.
Yeah, a tough week coming up, isn't it? It's a tough league. The schedule's, you know, relentless, and there's a lot of big games, big clubs in the league. Bolton, obviously, being one of them. Great test for us. Great test for us. Quick turnaround. You know, recovery is paramount now. Said that to the lads. You know, before you know it, we'll be on the bus on Monday, heading up there. So we have to do the right things over the weekend, and whoever's selected to get out there, they've got to be ready to perform, and I've got no doubt that they'll be ready.
Cheers, Jacko. Cheers, Nick. People looking at Jacko, I just wonder, again, fans probably thinking with the run you're on again, is this late push for the playoffs still on?
People or you?
Well, you know, at least some excitement in our lives, don't we, for the running. Well, how do you kind of look at it?
Boring. For you guys, not good copy, I guess, but I have to just look at the next one. Like, you know, I might put my feet up for an hour tonight, and then I'll be up in the morning watching Bolton, worrying about that, and trying to plan how we can go there and get a win. Like, I go into every game, I think you know me by now, like trying to win. That's a given. Like, so I approach every game expecting to win. Bolton will be no different. We're going to be no different. And then we'll see where it takes us. We're a long way behind, aren't we? So we're always going to be playing catch-up. And the problem is, with every slip-up, if you like, you know, it can be costly. So we can't afford too many more. But we're not going to win every game. But if we can avoid runs of defeats, like I'm saying there, then we'll give ourselves half a chance. But we've just got to try and just see where it takes us, and it is literally one game at a time. Let's get up to Bolton and see what we can do there. And then before you know it, we'll be back on the road again, going up to Wigan, trying to do the same thing. So that's where I'm at.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love.
Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara. Now sends Washington on that right hand side. He's in space. Washington into the area he goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can! Oh, Connor Washington puts on, tune it up. And could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow was in the middle, but Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Johnny Jackson. 3-2 win over Wimbledon yesterday. Plenty of stuff to ask him. I mean, one of the bits I did ask him about yesterday, which we haven't spoken about yet, is obviously Mason Burstow back with us now, Mark. Came off the bench. Now, I remember thinking during the week, like, it'd be very interesting to see exactly what sort of reception he gets, because, you know, that there were some fans, as has always been the case, disappointed to see a player leave the club, but he is still with us effectively for the next little while. So I thought it'd be interesting to see when he came on. I mean, I was obviously in the press box in the West. I couldn't really hear anything. I thought maybe distantly I heard a couple of boos, and asked the likes of Tom and Nath to sit a bit closer to the covered end. And they said there was one or two. I asked Jacko about it as well. He seemed surprised when I mentioned that. And, you know, he said that Mason's a lovely kid and he's going to give us 110%. I mean, were you surprised or did you boo, Mark? What was your stance on the booing and the booers?
Yeah, I just stood up and booed relentlessly. No, it's funny because at halftime we're warming up right in front of us. And it's funny, there was one comment from a guy behind me who goes, "Judas," and I turned around and looked at him, and he just like looked sheepishly, went, "Oh, yeah, well," but didn't really hear anything else. A lot of kids wanted to have their photographs taken with him, and he came across, took some photos. I didn't really hear much round near me when he came on, and we've got some quite vociferous people sitting down there. I know a few of the other boys heard one or two bits, but I think it was a real minority. And when he came on, I thought he put himself around. He chased, he harried. I'd said yesterday after the game, I was concerned about the linesman on that side, on the east stand side. I think he must have had some kind of arm injury because he couldn't raise his flag, the poor little devil. Because a couple of times where shirts were being grabbed quite blatantly off, and Mason got grabbed and pulled, and then he gave him against, and he looked around and was like, "Why are you giving that against me? I couldn't get it." He tried, he harried. I don't think he's gonna not do that. I mean, we talked about it on Thursday. Is he going to give it? Are people going to go, "Oh, he didn't try"? I think you could see that he tried for everything. He was trying to make himself open, trying to put himself around. He was running tirelessly. He didn't stop. He didn't sort of like look like, "Oh, I'm not going to bother." I think when you're 18 and you just want to play football sometimes, whether it be, you know, in a proper league game, whether probably down the park with your mates, you just like enjoy having a kick around. So I think we're going to get, you know, what we can out of him. And I think it is a very tiny minority who were vocal about it, because he did seem to get a good reception from the people I was near and didn't really hear much else. So,
Yeah, I mean, Terry, do you want to say anything on that? And also,
yeah, I mean,
go on, you go on that first. I've got a second question for you.
Yeah, well. I just on the booing thing, I think there were some boos from the AFC Wimbledon fans because they were booing Chuck Sonique going in the opposite direction because they booed him a couple of times because obviously of his past with AFC Wimbledon. So I think there's a mixture of that as well, but there were some obviously some people that and it's going to split opinions. Of course it is because he's a player that every fan probably would have loved to have seen progress at Charlton and become an absolute star for a couple of seasons, banging in goals left, right and centre to maybe help us get promotion or to get where we want to go. And so to lose a talent is always going to be something that every fan doesn't want to see. But, you know, you've got to balance that with that's guesswork. You don't know he's going to be that player. Yes, he's an exciting talent and a great kid, by the way. But will he be the player that will bang us in 25 goals a season over the next two seasons, or even the next four? If Stockley comes back into the fit and back in the side, almost certainly Burstow goes back to playing in the under-23s. So would he be that player anyway? Maybe not. So when we got to the Premiership side, come, is it fair to not let the kid have a crack? Of course it's not. And then you've got to weigh it up. Is it the best deal for the club? Maybe not. Maybe we could have got a better deal. Who knows? I mean, we're not in the negotiating room when it's happening. Could we got more money? Who knows? And they say, it's always a gamble and we should have got more money. If Stockley gets back fit and he plays the rest of the season in the under-23s, we'll get less for him. So who knows? You know, who knows it's a right move or not? Only hindsight or foresight would tell us for sure, and we'll only know in a couple of years. But as for the booing thing, you're always going to get some that really get too angry and don't know how else to express themselves. And so that's just the way it is. That's human nature, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Like I tried tweeting Ollie. That seems to be the thing that people try to do these days. I'll ask Mark this second question then. I mean, obviously, Jacko, not getting drawn in on the question about the playoff race. I didn't even bother asking him, actually. Richard was like, just throw it out there. But, you know, with the situation we're in, Mark, 13 points away from the top six. We're in the top half now, which is nice. But, you know, you'd have to climb over a lot of teams, not just with the points, but just have to hope that other teams drop points as well. You can see why Jacko doesn't want to get drawn into it, because if he stays, well, we're still in the race and we don't get there, what can he say? But he also doesn't. He can't come out and say, well, no, I don't think we've got a chance, because then what's the motivation for the last 16, 17 games?
I think it's a choice of having a look and saying, when is it mathematically impossible? Now, I'm 100% certain you've already got your Excel sheet worked out to find out when it's mathematically impossible for us to get promoted.
This season, that's how far away we are. So. I haven't even whacked out an old Excel spreadsheet.
I can understand why he's being asked that by the journos. Because there will be some fans who are thinking, oh, can we do it? Can we not do it? I mean, obviously the older heads amongst us will know, you know, where it lies and goes, you know, is it worth asking those kind of questions? It's got a question which has got to be asked, because there are people who are going to be wanting to know. And it's understandable Jacko's not going to say, no, we're not going to do it. No, we're not going to get it. He's not going to lay all his cards straight away, because it becomes something, a stick you can beat him with if 10 games down the line and we've just fallen, say we've fallen short by 4 points. You know, people are going to say, oh, you said we were going to get it. Oh, and then you're going to start getting sort of like the 5%, very vocal 5% being dissenting about it. So I can understand why he's not going to come out and nail his colours to a mast and say, right, we're going to get this, because it can bite you. I mean, I think it's bitten Thomas quite squarely on the backside this year after the comments he made last year. And he'll learn from that. You know, Jacko's way more experienced in football than Thomas is. And so hopefully Thomas will learn that he's going to take a minute and maybe check with someone who knows about football before we start tweeting out his opinion or what we're going to do, romp the league, whatever. And so I can understand Jacko being asked. I can understand Jacko's answer. So, you know, if you ask me, I'm going to say, well, ask me again in 10 games' time. We've got some tricky fixtures coming up. And you're right, you're also relying on teams above us to go on quite bad runs and, you know, almost implode And can maybe you can see one or two teams dropping like a stone. I mean, I'd like to thank Sunderland for absolutely wrecking my acca for this weekend. But maybe, no, not enough teams will do that. So, you know, we're looking at next season now, and I think that's what sensible people will be doing.
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately. Right, let's...
Can I come in on that?
Go on then, Tel.
Can I quickly just... stuff sensible, by the way. football's...
Terry's got 20 quid on us making a top.
Yeah, I've never considered football and sensible in the same sentence. No, all I'm going to say is that nobody knows. It's impossible. If you were a betting man, as Mark's just said, Sunderland ruined his acca. I mean, they've only won one in the last six, Sunderland, and they've gone from being racing certs for promotion to now maybe even missing out on the playoffs. You've got Portsmouth, who haven't won in six, who were everybody's favourites to be in the playoffs, and they're not even close now, same as us. Bolton haven't lost a game in six, and five wins out of that. So, you know, they've gone from being nowhere to being same points as us, and 13 points from the playoffs, but 10 points from relegation. It's absolutely impossible to know. And Mark's 100% right. 10 games in, you probably will do. But now, anything could happen. If three teams go on a run and don't lose a game in six, which is entirely possible because it's happening now, then no question about it.
Well, fingers crossed, eh? That's it. That's never one to give up, Terry, despite his years of experience and disappointment. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that have come in to the show. Rachel said, I thought Adam Matthews at right wing back made complete sense today. Provided so many good options, outlets and space. His throw-ins and crosses were very good as well. When Clare pushed forward, he always covered at the back, even better than his performance at Sunderland. Yeah, he's a player perhaps who's needed a couple of performances, but I think he has done well in the last couple of games, has Adam Matthews. Cheers for that, Rachel. Spenny says 3 points was all that mattered yesterday, but February is a massive month for us. It will be a real test for this team, and adds RIP to Ben Jay, of course. Yeah, during the highlights we heard the minutes applause for Ben, and obviously everyone here at the show sends our condolences to his family and friends, and to everyone at the club who got to know Ben over the last few months. It was very tough for everybody involved. Really sad news. Simon says, we weren't at our best yesterday, but we got the job done. A tough run of games ahead of us, but we're on a good run, so should be confident going into Tuesday's game. Emotional day yesterday with a lovely tribute to Ben. Inspirational young man, RIP. That's from Simon. Thanks, Simon. And finally, Ben Wells says, not quite at our best, but we got the job done, which is the most important thing. We will certainly be working on defending set pieces in the week after that display from both teams on how not to do so. Felt as if we grew into the game, though, and got what we deserved in the end. And that's from Ben. Well, let's hear from one of the players involved yesterday. Alex Gilby, the Addicts midfielder, came in to speak to me after the game yesterday. This is what he made of the performance against AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah, obviously, it was good to get the 3 points, but I think we started really slow. I think it was really poor first half. But we luckily got the 3 points and we can move on to Tuesday.
Yeah, Johnny saying that John perhaps not at their best today, but sometimes when you play like it, it's about trying to find the way to get the 3 points.
Yeah, I don't think we was anywhere near our standards we set ourselves today. But if you perform not to your standards and win, I think it's a good sign. So yeah, it's good 3 points. We can move on.
And good to come back from a difficult start as well. And what were your view on the pitch? I think Macca was a bit unhappy with the challenge, but it's hard to see from back there.
It's a really sloppy start. I feel like Macca's claimed the ball and one of their lads barged into him, but it's just one of them things in football. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. So, yeah, real sloppy start, but obviously we ground it out and got the 3 points.
Yeah, and Ryan Ennis has been so dangerous at set pieces. I was saying it every week. There's still not a team that's worked out how to deal with him, is there?
Nah, he's massive, isn't he? He's like a giant. So, obviously, it's a really strong weapon we've got there with Ryan. So, we need Albie's deliveries have been unbelievable. So, we just need to keep putting him in the right place and let him attack it.
Talking about good deliveries, I mean, that ball through from DJ, I'll be banging on about that all week at training now, won't he?
Yeah, to be fair, he's already been speaking about it in the change room for half hour. But no, like, outstanding pass. DJ's got that. Real talented player, so fair play to him and another good finish from Connor.
Hey, are you enjoying your role in the midfield at the moment? There's a lot of options, but I feel like you've really sort of stepped up your game the last few weeks again.
Yeah, loving it. Just listening to the manager, listening to the gaffer, running hard for the club, running hard for my teammates, and everything else takes care of itself. I think we've got some real good talent in midfield, and it's competition for places, so everyone's just got to be on it.
I was going to say, with that competition, obviously Scott's been added to the ranks as well. Does it keep you sort of all on your toes?
Oh yeah, of course. I feel like Scotty's an unbelievable player. Unbelievable for us to sign a player of his calibre. They're the type of players I want to be playing with, so it's really good to bring someone like that in. And obviously you've got Albie, you've got Elliot Lee as well, so we've got really good options in there.
Do you think you get an extra little bit from the fact that obviously Johnny played a long time in midfield, that he can give you guys a little bit of extra information that you can take into your own performances?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the gaffer's helped me a lot since I've been at the club. Obviously I've watched him when I was young, when he was at Colchester and I was coming through there, so to actually have him managing me is really good. So he's someone I can keep learning from and just want to work hard for.
What are you looking at now for the rest of the season? Obviously, it's a good little run of wins now that the playoffs is still quite a far amount of points away to chase down. Is that something you still got one eye on?
Yeah, of course. I feel like we can go about it silently. We can just take care of business, go to Bolton, try and win there. And then obviously we've got Wigan as well coming up. So they're two tough games. But if we can take care of business and we're the quiet one in the pack hunting down, who knows what can happen.
There we go. Great to hear from Alex Gilby. Yesterday, I mean, he's a player who impresses, isn't he, Terry? You know, at the start of last season, I thought he was very good. Then he was out injured for a while, came back, and it took him a long time to get back up to speed. This season, again, obviously, we know he had COVID at the start, but I think he's really proven his worth. And, I mean, Scott Fraser coming in. We've got some options in that midfield now, especially now Albie's playing well again.
Exactly that. And I think Albie coming in and playing well has allowed Johnny Jackson to rest players, and Gilby, I think, is a classic example of that. He came out of the side for a couple of games and much needed rest, I'm guessing, because he's come back refreshed and back to the sort of player he was at the beginning of the season. When, I mean, I don't think there's a finer sight, and certainly probably not a better midfield player going forward when he's on a run, because he gets past, he glides past players with the ball, and probably should score more goals than he does, I think, and I think he'll probably be the first to admit that. But when he's on song, he's a really good player to watch, and very effective for us. And I think with Scott Fraser coming in, you've noticed that now Elliot Lee's obviously been dropped to the sidelines, maybe you know, he looked a little bit jaded, hasn't necessarily performed in the last few games as he did when he first came in, so maybe need that rest, because we're playing two games a week, and I wouldn't mind betting him that he makes an appearance on Tuesday. It now allowing Johnny Jackson, with the quality of signings, and Scott Fraser is that we've got now, and the quality of players we've got, and Albie Morgan now playing well, it gives him great options in that midfield and allows him maybe to rest one or two every now and again, which we didn't have that luxury of before.
Certainly, yeah, really enjoying Alex's performances. Right, let's have a look at some of the emails that have come in. Phil says, "Hi guys, unfortunately due to contracting COVID on Friday, I missed today's game. I'm sorry to hear that, Phil. Hope you feel better soon, or hope you haven't got too bad symptoms." It says, "Not the best performance by the sounds of it. However, momentum is building, as will be the confidence. The next few games are against playoff contenders that will tell us how far away we are from having a competitive squad for next season, assuming that this year's playoffs are out of reach." But I guess from the other side, is if we can beat some of these playoff contenders, we could reel them in a little bit, couldn't we? But Phil then continues, "The spine of the side is looking strong now, with the defenders Lavelle, Fainwell and Clare. Midfielders like Dobson, Fraser and Gilby, Washington and Aniki and Stockley as strikers as well. A couple of additions, I think promotion challenge is definitely achievable next season." That's from Phil. Yeah, I very much agree with that. There's still work to be done, but, you know, sometimes you do have to build up over a couple of seasons. I do think we've got some good players. Obviously, with Akin, he's on loan, but I think there's that option, isn't there? So I wonder if we'll be looking to try and utilise that to make him a permanent deal at some point. Right, Dean says, "All I wanted to say is the officials in this league are absolutely shocking." Terry's on as well, so I'm sure he'll agree with you. But it says, "They definitely have it in for Charlton. I can only think of maybe two games where the ref has been pretty good. And how can I forget? What about the assist from DJ? Absolute filth. Love the pod, lads. Keep up the good work." That's from Dean. Yeah, that was an absolutely filthy assist from DJ. I'll be watching that one again, I think, tonight. Phil says, "Hi, guys. I thought overall we played well yesterday, deserved the victory. Felt it was a little strange that taking Cosgrove off, as he was definitely causing us problems, whether or not it was legal." Yeah, I did ask the Dons boss, Mark Robinson, about Cosgrove yesterday. He did say he hadn't played for a while, so I think he was sort of coming to the end of his fitness levels when he had to come off. Said Fraser looked a good addition when he came on, held the ball, played it simple, gave us better control in midfield. I reckon Skiverton was brought in to galvanise our defence, but it appears he's worked firstly on getting the best out of them from our set pieces. If he can get the same reaction when he works on defending, we will be a real difficult nut to crack. Further, steady progress is what we need now. Not enough adjectives in the dictionary to describe DJ's control and pass under pressure. That was just so special. Not too many changes for Tuesday, subject to fitness, but the squad is deep enough now to expect a strong performance in most games. There will obviously be hiccups along the way, but I'm sure JJ will get 100% out of the lads, whoever plays. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil, for your message. Right, let's find some more fan reaction as well to yesterday's game. Benji delved into the fans bar, armed with his Cheltenham Live muff, to go and ask for some opinions on yesterday's performance and also on the January transfer window as well.
I mean, Sean Clare, I've been watching. I've been up and down the country. I was at Hartlepool. I've been to Crewe. I mean, he's starting to turn his game. I think working the wing, taking shots from distance, we definitely need to do more of. I think, you know, and letting the guys in the front after that take the chances.
We weren't really the greatest, but we let in a few sloppy goals. But we came out of a win. I feel like we did well, but we didn't really like create that much, like playing out on the wing too much. Just need to get it in the box more.
It was a strange game. Part of me was like, are we going to lose this game? Are we going to win this game? But overall, I think we're a better team, and the result saw to itself. I really like Innes. I think he's a quality player. If he wasn't so injury prone, he'd be at Premier League level.
It was a strange game. I think for a five-goal match, it was kind of subdued for parts of it. I think we gave away two soft goals, but never looked troubled otherwise, and were probably worthy of the win eventually. Yeah, I think it was just about deserved.
They're all sort of just mucking in, really, I think, at the moment. And he just needs... I think the guy from Yeovil coming in has definitely made a change. I think, like, the look of the stance, before we looked a little bit lost. Now he's coming, we're organised a bit better. We're playing better football. We're stretching the play, making a longer ball, getting to the ball. Maybe I wish we'd sort of probably make the second ball a bit more. But it's a learning curve and we got to move forward from it.
It was alright. We got in Scott Fraser from Ipswich. That's alright. Let Mason Burstow go. I feel like he was one of our best strikers. But who wouldn't want to go to Chelsea, to be fair? Big club.
I need to see what the add-ons are for Burstow, because if it's a decent deal, but we're mid-table, I'd rather consolidate, go for the summer and go for it properly.
Fraser, good signing, do you think?
Big time. Why not? Go for it.
I think it was okay. I think it was fine. We spent more money, which we haven't done in many transfer windows before. Fraser got on the pitch today. We didn't really see enough to make a judgment, but I'm happy. Burstow, I know there's a bit of debate about that at the moment. Personally, I'm not sure what the right value for a young kid who's played half a dozen or so games really is now, but I think the transfer window was fine. I think, I'm happy.
I mean, Mason Burstow moving, I wouldn't blame him. It's a big club. As long as the deal was right and it's right for us, then I can't complain. You know, he's going to go up development. I just don't want him to come back and score against us. That's all I don't want.
Thank you very much to everyone who spoke to Benji in the fans bar yesterday. There's plenty of you eager to have your say on the show, and we'll be out and about after the next few games as well. So I can't imagine there'll be anyone up at Wigan, up at Bolton doing it, because I think I'm the only one heading up there. But yeah, certainly, hopefully, maybe Wigan, I'll be up there. And if you see me on the train back, I might come and ask for your opinion. So feel free to come and bother me on the train back if you want to give your opinion onto the show. And we should look ahead, really, Mark and Terry, to that game coming up with Bolton Wanderers. They sit just above us in the table and the same amount of games played. When we spoke to Alex yesterday, I don't think it made the clip. I can't remember if I put it in this clip, but he wants to get one over on them for their work that they did at the Valley when they beat us 4-1 earlier on in the season, Mark. But, I mean, they're on a good run. You know, won four in a row before their one-all draw at Morecambe yesterday, where they got a late leveller. You know, we know all about the six goals they put past Sunderland a few weeks ago. I mean, it's a real tough test. And as Phil said in his email, this will be a real good sort of gauge of where we are now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Bolton's not one of those lucky grounds normally for us. I can't remember us getting too much pretty much from there, even before they sort of like moved. It's a difficult one. Again, you want to see who's injured, who's carrying something. I mean, there was a lot of comments about Chucks yesterday saying, you know, he wasn't doing his normal kind of movement. I just think Ray shackled him pretty well and he had a couple of good runs. But, you know, you don't know if he's... Because we know he's not really been a 90-minute player for us. And now this is the second time... No, I came off yesterday, but, you know, he'd been... Had 90 against Portsmouth. So it's interesting to see, obviously, with Ryan as well. It's a tough one to see who's going to start, whether he put a few different loans. I mean, talk about Elliot Lee, whether he comes out of a squad totally and you put one of the other new loans on the bench, possibly for Chelsea left side. If CBT is going to be out, is going to leave us a space there to fill. Difficult. It's, again, though, Bolton, because they're only just above us, they've run a good run. And like I say, we all saw the six they put past Sunderland. They were, I thought, felt they were lucky yesterday. I mean, it was a 14 minutes extra time because they'd had to be taken off the teams. And Morecambe, as we know, isn't easy. So I just think it's one of those ones where we can give an opinion now. I think until we see the side... Then you're going to say, right, how is he going to approach it? I mean, Xhaka's going to want to attack because we've got a lot more attacking players. I think it's one of those ones, once you see the side, then you go, right, that's what he's going to do. That person's got a knock. I mean, I think as long as you've got people like Dobson who are fit and looks like they can run forever. It made me laugh today. Someone said on a tweet that the earth is 70% covered in water. The rest of it is covered by George Dobson. And it's just pretty much true. He's just a joy to watch. And now I think it's almost like a two-horse race for player of the season, Dobson and Clare, unless someone wants to throw another name into the mix. So until we see the team, then we can decide how it's going to be. But I don't think we've got a load to fear, but they are dangerous. They do score goals and they're in good form. But, you know, we're not in bad nick ourselves. Three games on the bounce. They're going to be looking at us and thinking, hold on a minute, you know, this isn't the Charlton we played at the Valley, which rolled on its back and had its tummy tickled. This is a different beast, and that might bite them.
Yeah, and, well, we can only go into this game with confidence, especially after our last away performance, Terry. If we can approach the Bolton game with that level of intensity that we did down at Portsmouth, you know, we caught Portsmouth maybe on an off night somewhat, but if we can disrupt Bolton in the midfield, you know, Dobson mentioned there by Mark, and we can sort of earn the right to play our own game like we did down at Fratton Park, then who knows what could happen on Tuesday.
I agree, and I think that intensity has to be there, and I think Scott Fraser coming into the squad is a huge help. I think Elliot Lee might figure on Tuesday because he's been rested for the last two games on the bench. You might see Jonathan Lico back because he didn't even make the bench yesterday, so is that arresting unless he's got an injury we don't know about? So with Corey Blackett-Taylor obviously not going to be figuring, does that mean Jai Simi will start and then you've got Lico on the bench, or Lico starts and keep Jai Simi on the bench? I think we've got options, and that's the good thing. So I'm not fearful necessarily of Bolton. They had a really tough game yesterday. They had a man sent off, Santos, their centre half, got sent off. They scraped it right at the end with the last minute. Well, I say last minute. I think it was in added time, but they had about a quarter of an hour of that, I think, because of other shenanigans that was going on at Morecambe. So they'll have gone through the mill with extra minutes and stuff and disruption. So it's a good opportunity, I think, for us. If we defend better at set pieces, unlike yesterday, then we'll certainly be in the game. And it's the first of, I think Mark might have mentioned it earlier, you know, it's first of six games against tough opposition, you know, in the top half of the table, in the top echelons of the table. So it's going to be a real test from this point forward. And we haven't really fared well two games a week in recent past. So that's going to be another interesting aspect of the game, whether we can keep that intensity level for a Saturday, Tuesday, and then the following Saturday again. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting one Tuesday. But, yeah, we shouldn't fear it at all.
Excellent stuff. Looking forward to it. Right, well, we've run out of time on this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who've joined in on the show this evening. Thank you to Terry and to Mark for joining me.
Cheers, Luke. Cheers, Mark.
Cheers, Dale. Cheers, Louis.
Good to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes, and thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to look back at that game against Bolton Wanderers and ahead to next Saturday's trip to Wigan. We'll see you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.